few days ago, I was listening to a news report, and I heard something. They couldn't make some comments on it, but it was a striking observation that one news anchor made, and then it picked up news in many other cycles and other places too. And the comment was made that we live in an angry America, that the America in which we have right now is filled with anger, that many people have found themselves in anger, expressing anger, and so forth. Now, from what I understand, I mean, I haven't bothered to look at all the news reports and all the commentaries from that particular statement that was made, but for the most part, people are saying the increased or the growing anger in America is over the economic times that we have, little trust that people have in government, so forth, different things like that, and that just brought on an angry electorate anger in this particular point and whatever it might be. Be that as it may, and it may there may be some truth to that, maybe that just may be some other person's observation of a group of people or some things like that, or maybe there really is a growing point of anger in our times after this. But if there is, if we find that America is growing angrier in her people, perhaps it's because they are seeking peace and happiness in all the wrong places. Yes, some would attribute to the economic times, the hardship people having finding or lack of jobs and not trusting people and not trusting CEOs of companies and all this kind of stuff that has happened. But as a substitute for all that, or in a way of doing it, as people come, especially at Christmas time, a time in which we say it is a time of peace and happiness, we find them seeking for peace and happiness. That's the theme, the words that are on the lips of just about everyone. But they've made of Christmas more material, more social in its ideas. And so the peace and the happiness they seek is going to all be based upon that which man himself can arrive at in any particular way. For them, Christmas is just merely a time of giving. It's a social life, getting together with family and friends and doing things of that particular nature. And about 3 or 4 days from now, it's going to be over because they've been celebrating it now since well into mid-November. And all this period of time, 4, 5, 6 weeks, that peace that they have been looking for really hasn't happened. They've had happy times, they've had emotional times, but has it really found for them that deep abiding peace, that type of peace that'll be something there that will get rid of that anger if it really be growing among the things in America? They're not going to find it in that material point. You know, it's just St. Peter's epistle that's used for midnight mass, that overcoming ungodlessly and living piously in this world, this is where we start to find in everything that we look for where peace can be found. You see, when people, the further they step away from religion, the less joy there will be. You know, there's this concept that's out there right now that the more people get involved with religion, the sadder they will be, because religion brings with it all these rules and regulations and stuff like this and whatever. And so it robs people of their happiness, maybe their joy, whatever you want to call it at that particular point. But it's not true. St. Augustine said it best centuries ago when he recognized the restlessness in man, a pagan world in which he was living. And he said, "Our hearts are restless, O Lord. They're restless. We don't have peace. Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee." It's going to only be finding rest in Jesus Christ where that peace that people are truly seeking for will ever have it at all. It's not going to be found in wars and conquerings of war. It's not going to be passing points of legislation. It's not going to be building up a number of toys and material things to keep us happy, at least materially happy, emotionally happy. The deep abiding peace won't be there. Those who are Christian, those who understand the laws of Christ, those who come together on this day to honor the birth of Jesus, understand these points. See, for us, Christmas is a remembrance of the birth of Christ, the goodness, the happiness, the joy that came to the world with the birth of the Savior. As we've been reviewing during Advent, you know, here in the parish, the 4,000 years of waiting for the coming of the Messiah, to the point that men started to say, we need this Redeemer. We've messed things so much in our lives already. We need the Redeemer. And finally, the Redeemer came. He came to bring joy. He came to bring peace. He came to bring happiness. He came to bring a point of goodness among men that they had been missing for such a long time. But, you know, we've got to understand the words goodness and happiness and even joy. Where do they fit in here? Where do we get the right definitions? Because they are not synonymous. They do not mean the same things. They have different applications. And peace is only going to come not necessarily from goodness nor even happiness, but once we have arrived at what joy is all about. Let me explain this. Probably the better way to look at how this point of goodness is to look at a philosophical thing. I promise I'm not going to get very philosophical on this, but the idea, goodness is defined in philosophy as when something fulfills the purpose for which it was made. We can have, if the rock is out there and being a nice rock and just sitting there and doing all that rocks are supposed to be, that's a good rock. Why? Because it's doing the things for which it was made to do. Be a good rock. It may roll down and hurt somebody, but it's still, philosophically, a good rock. It's done some harm, but it's still a good rock. But the idea here of goodness then, if we're looking at the points of goodness, it's going to translate all these particular things. Well, before we go into that translations, add a couple more here with happiness. Happiness takes this goodness that we're finding here, this the thing that is fulfilling the purpose for which it should accomplish, like the church building here. The church building is good, not only good because it is blessed and consecrated as a house of God, a temple of God, a place in a house of prayer, but it's also good because it fulfills the purpose for which it was intended when it was made, to be a house of worship, to have God present here, not only in spirit because of the blessing that was given to us, but also in fact with the Blessed Sacrament. So, you know, we see that this particular point there's goodness that is fulfilled at this particular point with the church. Our happiness comes is when we come to the church and recognize we are in the building that is fulfilling these particular purposes. What are we expected to have? It does have. God is present here. This is a place of prayer, a place of worship. And so happiness comes when we have this vision of this goodness. We even get more of this vision at Christmas time with all these extra decorations around. They fill us with a point of happiness inside. They appeal to our emotions and bring that happiness to us at that particular point. But that happiness there is not complete, because if that's all we seek, we will never have true joy. There will never be peace. There won't be anything in finding what it is, the real message of Christmas, Mission Christus. You know, people say, be kind and good to other people, give gifts and all these things. Or other people say, it's the birth of the Savior, honor Jesus on his birthday. That's the message of Christmas. Okay, fine, well, and good. But the deeper message is found in what we heard the gospel story today about what the angels said. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Joy is the message of Christmas. Joy is something that we are here to obtain and to bring as part of us. You see, we talked about goodness. We talked about happiness. What joy is when we actually have that goodness, that we are happy we are amongst it here, but we actually possess it. It actually becomes ours. Let's take it in what we've been saying here. The church is goodness and what it fulfills. Happiness because we see all the things that are here in the church, it's fulfilling its goodness. But we have joy when Jesus Christ comes into our hearts. When that which is remembered or celebrated here in external ways spiritually becomes something that's real within us. You see, joy is not this artificial gaiety. Joy is not something where we have smiley faces. You know, the retail face, those who work in retail, especially those in fast foods, when you're told, you know, the corporation wants you to say this, hi, how are you? Are you there? And then some of these same employees will turn right around and say, oh, this is miserable. The joy that they talk about, the smile that's on their face, it's only there because they have to. They won't get paid if they don't give it. So it's not a very deep joy at all. It won't bring peace. No. It only brings a paycheck, but not peace. And if it brings anger to people, it will, because people are looking for this type of joy as being an emotion, a smiley face, an attitude. But joy of soul is what we're talking about here. This joy for Christmas. This joy that the angels are inviting us to take part in at the announcement of the birth of the Savior. This great and glorious joy that should be ours as Christian because we know this message. This joy of soul is not something that you turn off and on like a light switch. This joy is a product, if you will, an overflowing that comes from living as a Christian. I know this is Jesus Christ and his birth. I know what he has come to teach me by his birth in this way. I will follow his example in this man. I will study his example here so that Christ is alive within me. And all the things that he shows to me by this wonderful and simple birth, I will try to learn those lessons and make them mine. And as I start to make them mine, there's an overflowingness. Joy is, you know, as St. Paul outlines it, is one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. It's the second after charity. Charity, joy. If we're filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost rules and lives in our life. The second most important thing that should be evident in us and what we do is joy. But the joy, it's deep and abiding. It's not a sensible joy. It's not a sensible type of joy that people want to say, oh, I've been to Magnetized. Oh, the church was beautiful, wasn't it? I was so glad to see it that way. Okay, fine. You were happy. You had some joy. But that's a joy that comes and goes. That's a joy that passes. It's a joy within maybe 4 or 5 hours after leaving from the church. It'll pass away from you. The joy I'm talking about here that we need to try to obtain, it's a depth. It's like an uncharted depth. It's almost like we're people in local area, for those in local area there with Lake Pend'Oreille. It's deeper than most people really mean. And sometimes they wonder how deep it can be. It's so deep they can put submarines in it. There's a depth to that particular waters. And joy is for us a depth to us here. A depth that comes forth from us naturally, but it's built upon seeing that goodness and the happiness that comes, but not stopping just at the emotional happiness. Not just seeking for some kind of a joy that fills me with warm and fuzzies, but something that is deeper, something that is abiding. It's that fruit of the Holy Ghost that was talking about. It's like a current. Let's go back to Pend'Oreille Lake. It's another example we can use. Most of you know, here in Spokane, we know that we got our water supply from the aquifer that comes from Pend'Oreille Lake. It's underneath us, deep underneath us here, and it just flows. It's a constant current that goes flowing, comes out, becomes the river, and heads on into the Pacific Ocean. But we live on top of water, for the most part, in this whole Spokane Coeur d'Alene area. It's a current that flows underneath us here. All these stuff can go up on top of it. There can be people farming. There can be crimes taking place. There can be any other kind of damage that is done or good things that happen on the surface, but underneath, that water just continues to flow, continues to go along. That's the joy that we want in our souls. That's the joy that we have to work for, that it's a constant flow, if you will, to the heart of the love of God based upon all the things that I have learned and I want to make a part of my life. I understand Jesus being born in the manger, the lessons he teaches me in coming as a child, instead of coming as this redeemer, just by one prayer redeeming mankind, instead of having to die on the cross, that coming as man, humbling himself as man in this way, as a little child, making it easier for us to come to approach him, the poverty of spirit, the desire that he has to people to come to speak with him, talk to him, listen and just gaze upon the manger scene and take in all that we can see of it and understand the lessons that come from that. It's when we start to understand those lessons and make those lessons ours, we're finding joy. That's where joy is at. If we live in an angry world, it's because you and I, who should know everything about this, about joy, haven't done much to possess it. In fact, we find ourselves as angry people ourselves here. How can we hope to be the salt of the earth? As Christ tells us that we are to be the light that is on the lampstand, that brings brilliance to the entire world. You and I are supposed to be that to the world. But how, if we are an angry people, a people who have not found joy, true, abiding joy, the type of joy that when the cold, hard facts of life hit us, we still have something here that we can make it through. They don't affect us because that deep current continues to flow. This is how the Christian, finding that true joy in the midst of all of his difficulties in life, can still smile at them. This is how the Christian, when somebody yells and screams at him, can say, "Thank you," because he has found true joy. Joy is something that keeps the heart and the soul at peace. Christian joy, true joy, this deep abiding joy, not something sensible, not just happiness. Happiness is an emotion from a material thing that I see doing with material stuff, and I'm glad to see it. It has to go farther than that, deeper than that, more abiding in everything that goes on. That's the joy that we need. And if we don't possess it ourselves, okay, then the world is going to get angrier. And what little we can do, or what great we can do, with people around us, family, friends, neighbors, people at work, people at school, whatever, that we can help them to come to joy and to understand really what joy and peace is all about. Not sensibilities, not just things that gives me the warm and fuzzies, but something that's deep, abiding. And even in the midst of trials, the cold, hard facts of life, I'm still strong. Those things don't get me down, because I know the God of joy is the one who is allowing these things for me and will see me through the toughest of times, the best of times, in the same way, because he loves me under both circumstances. That's the depth of where that joy comes from. I really do believe God loves me. I really do understand he has loved me. His only reason for coming down to earth to redeem me is out of love for me. His only reason for coming to the manger scene is out of love for me. Once I get it, that he loves me and he wants me to love him, I'm on this pathway of joy where peace is to be found. People are seeking peace everywhere, and they're not finding it because they are away from the true avenues of what peace is to be found in. It seems like people in the world, they're very complicated in how they try to come to joy. They manufacture different things here, and hopefully that's going to be the source of joy for them, peace and all that kind of stuff that they need. And all the time it fails miserably for them. We have learned that joy builds up within us in an uncomplicated, very simple manner. That's why it starts at Christmas with these thoughts about joy. Our gazing at the manger scene, our listening to the stories of the gospel and Christmas message and all these things, taking the time to reflect upon these, trying to pull out from them every lesson that is there for me at this time, that I will not let this day go by where it is just Christmas, gifts, families, dinner, and whatever. It is the birthday of Jesus Christ. And not only his birthday, but the birthday of him in my soul from baptism and Holy Communion when I received today. Birth of him through the Holy Ghost in that spirit of joy. The more simple I am in trying to understand and follow this message, the more joyful I will be. In the Litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary, one of the titles given to Mary is Mary, cause of our joy. She is the cause of our joy because she is the mother of he who brings true joy to us. Talk to her. Pray to her. Follow her joyful mysteries today. Because in those mysteries of the Rosary, in which we speak of joy in them, is going to be all the reflections that we need to build up this true Christian joy within us. A joy that no man can take from us, no matter what circumstance happens, as long as we live as we should. Let's be the light to the world. Let's be those who are out there to lead others to Jesus Christ. Let's help other people out there. Once we understand this message of joy, the Christmas message, once we understand this and live it ourselves, let's go out. And just a few people at a time, if it be an angry America out there, you and I can change it. But if we're just going to say, oh, nice words, Father, great words, and 2 days later now, we just pass it all away. I don't work to cultivate that joy. I give in to my anger, which I come back to confess and fall into again, and come back and confess and fall into again, because I have never found where true joy can be found. I've never found the love of God in my heart, because the love of God will not be in the angry heart. It will not be. Joy. The central part of the Christmas message is what the angels spoke to the shepherds, and which the church speaks to us in the first gospel of Christmas Day. I bring you good tidings of great joy. My prayer is that this joy will be great for you in every way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.